ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Not go ahead. Go on. Go on.
Go on.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
Today is going to be what it's going to be.
What, it's already starting. It's already starting some type of way. Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come together and to fellowship with one another and to submit ourselves to you. Father, we just ask that you inhabit the space and inhabit our minds and our hearts and allow us to say what it is that you need us to say. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Man.
Okay. So, last night was pretty, was a little different change for our Bible study group, which I feel like is going to work out. I feel like it's a nice change too. You know,
nice little challenge. Yeah.
Everybody would offer up a book of the Bible every night and it kind of started seeming, I think we had we both had the same feeling. It kind of started seeming real robotic.
A little random.
And it's just and not so much thought through, just like flipping open your Bible app and just like actually playing Bible roulette.
Right.
You know, that's for anybody that's listening to us and doesn't know, that's a spinoff of the show.
Yeah.
You really ought to check it out. TikTok, YouTube.
Yeah. And Facebook and Instagram. We put them on there too. Yeah.
I liked the progress.
I did too. It was nice because, first of all, it's the first time that we had had basically the entire group in the room at the same time for a while. And we had been reading through the book of Mark for way longer than it needed to take us to read through the book of Mark. Last week, nobody came. Like, everybody's life kind of intervened, so we didn't cancel it, or we canceled. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to finish reading the book of Mark because I feel like we need to move past this. And so that was kind of part of my motivation yesterday. It was like, I just want to get past it, and let's kind of sit back and reboot and reevaluate what we're doing and see if maybe there's something better that we could be doing. And, of course, I always go back to myself first because I want to be the best possible example and leader that I can be. And I always appreciate the fact that you take the pressure right off of me instantly. But my first instinct is always like, hey, what can I do differently? How can I motivate you guys a little bit better? Or what is it that I can do to maybe make it more engaging, make it more interesting or whatever? And everybody had great points and thoughts. And quite honestly, I was thankful for the accountability of the room. Everybody kind of was pretty accountable to what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We decided that we were going to switch it up and start doing some video Bible study on Right Now Media, which is a cool spiritually Christian based type Netflix type situation.
So when you showed me that, I really kind of was thinking, like, I didn't think it was what it was. I didn't think it would be the caliber of what it was either. It's pretty touching. There's a lot to it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like how it's like for me, I like for it to be dumbed down, and I like how it's like three verses. The one that we watched last night was three verses. Oh man. Sorry.
Oof. That was a nice little bang on the elbow right there, big dog.
It's not funny either. It's not funny. The one we watched last night is three verses.
Yeah.
One, two, and three.
Yeah.
I liked how he took the time to it and he explained all three.
Yeah.
It's for, especially for a person like me, like I can read, I'm literate, like, and I'm not going to say I'm a genius, but I'm pretty smart.
Sure.
But I don't learn, like I learn more by watching than by reading.
Yeah.
And so,
or doing.
Yeah. Like I can have never done I can walk up to somebody doing something and never done it before in my life, but by watching them, I can replicate it.
Yeah.
But I can't read it. I can't read the instructions and be like, oh, well, I'm supposed to do this. And then I don't have the attention span for that is part of the problem I feel like. And I really think that I'm onto something there. That's my story and I'm gonna stick to it. But I feel like that's the biggest part of my problem is the watching learning is a lot better for me.
Yeah. So we decided that we like the group's consensus was that we were going to watch a study series on the book of Jonah, which is an interesting way to start. And he was
But I was the one like, Jonah.
Well, my pops was right on Jonah, and Tanner was right on Jonah, and even Ronnie was like, Jonah, yeah, Jonah.
Yeah.
It's because I said, let's not start with Revelation. If I had allowed it, we would have started with a video series on Revelation.
I'm that would have been really cool, though.
It's going to be, I think we should do that, but it was like, man, that's a big one, and it's a lot to take in. Okay. But we probably should do that.
But personally...
You just read it not long ago.
Yes. It's been...
month, maybe?
Last month I read the book of Revelations. Revelation. Oh, I'm the dude that adds the S at the end of Kmart. Kmart's.
Kmart's, Walmart's.
Walmart's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's what other way to actually get... Because, I mean, it's doom and gloom for a lot of people, but for the people that... know the story, they know what your faith gets you, they know what being saved gets you. It's the good news.
Correct. So that's a good point.
Yeah. So what a way for the people that are in a Bible study group to actually celebrate the good news. Because look, I'm not gonna sit here and say like, oh, I just can't wait for this life to be over. Because no, this is precious too. Yeah. And you build relationships, and there's a reason that we don't start life in heaven.
That's a good point.
God wants to put us to the test. He wants to see what we're doing. He wants to see how we are, how he wants to test our character. He wants to, this is the trial and error. This is the beta program per se.
How could you possibly understand what that looks like, what paradise looks like in heaven without having dealt with what we deal with?
Yes, 100%.
You know?
So for the people that are, like I said, I'm not the dude that's just like quick to really end it. Like, oh man, dude, screw this. I can't wait to get to paradise.
You're right.
This is the true test of character. Plus, there's a lot of people here I care about.
Yeah.
And my work is not done. There's a lot of people here I care about that I don't know if they're going to go with me.
Right.
And maybe, I want to make sure they do. So you really have to kind of lay down the groundwork.
And maybe whatever that video study is will help us to understand what we need to do to help those who don't understand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Did you see that? We really got to get some curtains.
There's a bird on the other side of them blinds, big dog.
Well, and so what it is right above my Blackstone.
Yeah.
That ceiling fan that hangs on my patio.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
There is a bird nest.
Oh, okay.
And so Sunday I like intentionally tried to smoke them out. I threw butter on there. I burned it. Like I was in there. I was out there trying to clean it. And I threw butter on it. And I had it up on high. I burned the butter, like trying to smoke them out because they'll perch up there while I'm out there cooking.
Oh yeah, you don't want bird poo.
No, I don't want
bird poo on your food.
On my food or my shoulder. I mean, I'll throw the food away, but if it's on my shoulder, I'm gonna puke. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
Damn the food. I mean, like. I just don't get it on me. Like I'm that guy.
This is the baby problem that you have.
Yes. This is why I don't jack with kids. You know, I love my granddaughter and I love my kids. But when they were weak, like knee high, tree high, like it was really rough because
baby poo is nothing to be played with, boys and girls.
I'm not a big fan of the projectile in or at, or like from the top or the bottom. So
nobody's a fan of it, brother.
No, but I'm like
he sounds like a frog.
Yeah, no, I'm that guy.
Oh, it's funny.
Anyways,
sorry,
not to get off on that, but
my bad.
It's what better way to celebrate the good news?
True, very true. And so maybe that is that's my challenge. Because sometimes I feel like I don't want to overpressurize what we're doing because I know how deep and intense the book of Revelation can be and how hard it is to understand. And maybe that's what we need, though, is we need somebody with a guide or somebody who is trying to guide you in the right direction. And I'm not the right guy for it, right? As far as that specific book is concerned. And I've always been concerned about us kind of as a group reading through that book and me having the not right things to say. You know what I mean? There's a lot of pressure there for me.
Plus you got, I mean, like I'm anal retentive about everything. And so I'm going to have questions and I'm going to be like, well, how come this? How come that? Like, what's this? What's that? What's that? I get it. I get it. I get why that would, especially with there are certain members of our Bible study that are going to ask the questions that are going to put you on the spot. And I understand why that would be something, because you have brought something to my attention, and something you strive on, which now is something that I strive on, is not being the misinformant, not being the false teacher, not being the liar. You don't ever want to bend the truth. Like, you want to be as honest as you can and still say, hey, I'm not sure about this, but this is how I see it.
Right. So this is what I believe. I understand.
I get why it would be a challenge, because it's confusing, dude. And like I told you, I read certain parts of it 3 times, still walk away from this like, I got to read it again.
Yeah.
But I don't learn that way. I don't learn by reading.
Right. So absolutely. You're not probably right. You're absolutely right. We should probably have taken that chance, but I have a little bit of a fear. That's my bad. Yeah.
Well, but the thing about it is, so through that app, the Right Now Media, what is it? Right Now Media. Through that app, you can actually kind of sit back and let the person that is guiding us through the video and the discussions and everything, you can let them do the groundwork for you.
And then I can throw in my
and you can
understand. Yeah, and you can throw in your questions.
And I can sit over here like the kindergartner, like, hey.
I do the same thing. and then the other side of it, we talked about instead of doing every night, every person per night, which went well, don't get me wrong, I just felt like the heart of it had gotten away from us. You know, the whole point was
to engage
and being in God's word, right? Yes. Being in God's word is our weapon against everything. You know what I'm saying? And so I know that it's an important part of this process. So I was hoping to not only motivate myself, but motivate my brothers. And what I found was I wasn't quite motivated either. So I know if I'm not, y'all probably aren't either.
Well,
and at first it was probably good, but a few weeks in, it probably went by the wayside and everybody started just kind of giving away what they thought, you know, just quick thoughts.
In all fairness, if it's not producing, look, if it's not staying fresh or producing or getting your attention or even drawing you in, I mean, it's really hard to just keep, you can't keep going to a dry well.
100%.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I want to quote the Gen X Talks dad when the kid does the metaphor and he's trying to say beating a dead horse. He's like, it's like beating off to a dead horse.
Or killing one bird with 3 stones or 3 birds with 1 stone.
It's like killing a bird with 2 stones. He's like, no, you idiot. It's killing 2 birds with 1 stone. Because he's like, you can't possibly be this stupid.
Yeah.
I got so sidetracked.
Okay. But what I think came out of it was like, okay, instead of us doing that, it was like, okay, well, separate from our little video study,
yes,
we'll pick a book and we'll start with chapter 1. And this week, you have all week to read through this chapter and find something that stands out to you, either a question, an opinion, an encouragement, a discouragement, something that you don't understand or whatever, and bring it to the table and let's talk about it. Because these videos, let's be fair, are 8 to 12 minutes.
Yeah. But that's part of what I was trying to get at is, when you like, we were just dipping into an empty well at some point. It was like, I really honestly felt like, as a group, me personally, I felt like we had lost the passion.
Yeah. I don't want that. I don't like that. Yeah.
Everything was just coming. Like, I mean, like I'm saying, like, it's like we were flipping through the Bible app, like king. Like, we were literally playing Bobble Roulette.
Yeah, as literal as it can get. Yeah.
So, and there's no meaning to that. Like I told you, like, I would always try to send something that I have already read to be somewhat combative against that. But, dude, it's still hard because something that I read, like, you brought up the point, the last one I sent.
Yeah. About brother's betrayal.
So brother's betrayal. And I was like, no, that's not what I meant. Like,
but obviously, I didn't take it that way. I was just saying.
The deception that is in that book is just insane.
Yeah.
And for everybody that doesn't know, it's Genesis 27.
Correct. How hairy did that dude's arms have to be? Bro. Just so we can be fair.
How do you say,
like, Jacob and Esau?
Esau.
Yeah.
That's the one that I always want to call it Esau.
Esau?
it's Esau. But how, yeah, and like, it, how
the smell.
How rank does he have to be that they judged him based on his smell and his, they put sheep or,
lamb's wool on his freaking arms
to cover up the hairiness.
That's crazy.
And then the smell. And then I'm just like, dude, this dude, I hate it for him.
Yeah.
I hate it for him.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Father, please, there's of all these things, you have not one blessing left for me.
Yeah.
Dude, and I can understand the enragement that he feels like, okay, I'm going to kill this mother.
Yeah. That's a Cain and Abel situation.
And then I can't remember where he runs off to because the father doesn't want him to marry a Canaanite.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Canaanite, whatever.
Yeah. Doesn't want him to marry one of them. So he goes and runs off to his uncle's house. And
yeah.
That's where Rachel and
God. I already forgot. It's not Ellie or. I lost it already.
Anyways, he switches them.
Yeah.
So he promises him Rachel, if he works for him for 7 years, he works for him for 7 years.
Yeah.
And he gives him the other daughter. Yeah. And then he gives him Rachel, but he swaps them. And then so he goes and he does the deed. And then he's like, what is this sorcery? You know, like, how are you going to do this to me?
I might have had a night or two like that in my life, just so you know.
But then you got to work for me another 7 years if you want this one, but you're going to have both of them.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember the sister's name. But anyway, she ends up having four boys.
Yeah.
Which she's like, hey, maybe now he will love me. And eventually she gets a fulfilled spirit. And
yeah.
God's like, okay, look, that's enough children. Here you go.
The crazy thing is let's talk about the line of Jesus. And the line of Jesus goes all the way through that, right? And Jesus was called to come out of the line of David, right? The King David, which is later.
Yeah.
And all of that has to happen. And the crazy thing is I would have to open up our Bible and kind of study. I don't want to misspeak or anything like that. But that mother who was the unappreciated one, maybe he'll love me, is probably the one that gave the child that had the line that gave us Jesus eventually. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's how God works.
Yeah.
But we want to focus on all the things that we get wrong and all the vengeance. Yeah, right?
She's like, oh, dude, I'm the only one that can bear his children because Rachel wasn't having no kids.
Right.
She was the only one dropping babies.
Right.
And she's like, well, maybe now he will love me. I've given him his second son.
Right.
Oh, wait, maybe now he will love me. I've given him his third son. You know, like, and this dude's still like obsessed with the other sister.
Yep.
But what strangely enough is he's still over here in the darkness tapping the other one. You know what I mean? Like, clearly, if she's still having kids,
right?
I mean, you ain't that obsessed with her if you're still over here just nailing this one.
You're physically obsessed with this one, but you probably love this one.
Yeah.
Right. And then how crazy.
Because it says, it talks about it. Whatever the sister's name is, it says in there, had beautiful eyes. But Rachel was beautiful as a whole.
Right. Yeah. So she was outwardly beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's probably why in Proverbs, is it Solomon? I think Solomon writes Proverbs where he talks about how outward beauty is fleeting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When he's talking about a godly woman and like, hey, look, this is deceptive. This physical beauty is deceptive. In the grand scheme of things, talked last week about how small our lives are compared to eternity, and our beautiful years are this small in this grand scheme of our entire lives, to be honest with you. Yeah. And we focus on trying to be that forever. And women most especially worry about their physical appearance and things like that.
I lost mine, I don't know, about 44 years ago.
You lost your physical appearance.
I lost my physical beauty about 44 years ago.
Shut the front door, dude. Get out of here. But anyway, it just, you know, it's pretty cool. And then I like the idea that we decided to take a book and one chapter, and you got a week to decide something for us to talk about on top of our little video study that we can talk about too. And a lot of it is about kind of taking pressure off myself. But at the same time, like, it's not about pressure. It's about, look, if all we're doing is sitting here and reading and we're not discovering anything, we're wasting each other's time. Yeah. And I'm not in the business of wasting your time or our brother's time on BS. You know what I'm saying? I'm not wasting time. I don't want to waste your time. There has to be something substantive, right? We're here for relationship, and it's not about knowledge only. It's about relationship.
Yeah.
And our relationship's not going to get any better if we're not getting deeper than just the words.
Yeah. Not to shift gears, but I keep seeing this.
Yes, sir.
That first video. That first one. I got to hear it.
I got a little teary-eyed on this one a minute ago.
Yeah. It's...
Religion tries to change man from the outside in. Jesus changes people from the inside out. That's why you should stop hating on the prostitute who's now coming to church. And stop hating on the dude who's smoking weed and now coming to church. And stop hating on the person that's cursing who's not coming to church. You trying to put your laws, your man-made regulations on them. Let them come to church and curse. Let her come to church and get back on the pole tomorrow. Let God work in her heart, his heart, until their behavior changes. Come on, man. That's man-made. The Lord ain't never tell nobody, get your life right, then come to me. He never said that. Fix your life. Get out the club. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. Fix your sexual identity. He never said that. Follow me, and I will make you. So why are you strapping all of that to them? He just got saved last week, and you gave him 20 laws he got to abide by.
So, we wonder why people are church hurt their first, second time going. Yeah. First, second, third, like so early, they're church hurt.
Yeah.
Bro, when you go and you... Let's just put it this way. Like where we go to church, you know, at the end of the service, he always asks for anybody that wants to accept Jesus Christ into their life as their personal Lord and Savior, raise your hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you imagine being the one that finally has the cojones? Like you finally are like, screw it, man. Here, I'm going to let them hang out. I'm going to get saved today.
Today's the day. Yeah.
And you put your hand up and they pray that prayer for you. You know, you do that, and then you start, like, everybody comes up to you, and they congratulate you. They hug you, like, oh, man, best decision you've ever made. And then you start, like, really attending this facility where you go to church. And then people start learning things about you. Like, maybe you are still struggling with lust or addiction or whatever. Whatever's going on. Yeah, gossip, negativity. I mean, whatever. or maybe you just like you just ask the wrong questions, or you're awkward, or you know, like you just socially something that they don't agree with, whatever.
Right.
But you finally had the nerve to raise your hand and ask to be saved, and they like this congregation that you thought immediately right off the bat, because they prayed for you, they prayed that prayer for you. You know, everybody came and, oh man, it's the best decision you've ever made. Like they supported you right then. They start to kind of, they don't know you, but they start to get to know you, and you have a couple of little skeletons in the closet or whatever. And you know, you know, like you're a raging alcoholic, but you're trying to find Jesus to help get out of that, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus doesn't look for the healthy people. You know, healthy people don't go to the doctor. He's looking for the sick, the poor, the struggling.
That's right.
But you're trying to find Jesus to help you get through that situation, and now all of a sudden you got all these people that are harping on you about the laws and the rules, and you shouldn't be doing
that. You're not supposed to be doing this. You're not supposed to
forsake you. You know, yeah. That's how people end up getting church hurt.
It reminds me of this scripture in Matthew chapter 23, when Christ is speaking to his disciples, and he's talking about the Pharisees, but he calls them, and the Sadducees, yeah, and the teachers of religious law. And he says, you know, they are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they do not practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden.
Ah, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Think about that. And then he goes on to say, they do everything they do for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels, and they love to sit at the head of the table at banquets in the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and be called rabbi. I don't want to continue on this.
No, dude, because this is something that actually...
I get it. And don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers and sisters.
And don't address anyone here on this earth as father, for only God in heaven is your father. That one's a touchy one, because, like, hard. You know, like, I used to use the you know, I used to use the phrase, I can't do it. I can't. I have to do this off the record.
Why?
Just because. I have to do it off the record. It's got a sting to it that I'm just not ready to
share
right now. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's cool. No big deal. But the idea of...
It could be, it's very easy, could be... You know, dad and father are two different things.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Sometimes my daughter will walk up, she's like, hello, father.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's kind, yeah. I'm kind of like, what?
Like, most of the time they say in a joking manner.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I never called my dad father. I probably have, but I didn't mean it in that vein. Yeah. Right. In this regard, I think of father in heaven, like perfect, loving father. And the thing that I was trying to point to had nothing to do with all of that. It had to do with the teachers of religious law, the religious people in our churches who put all these demands on us, ourselves, and those around us who are trying to figure this stuff out, and yet never do anything to help relieve the burden of the difficulty. You know, it comes to mind to me that what did Christ pay the penalty for?
Our sins.
Is that like an ongoing situation, or is that a one-time situation?
No, he paid the penalty for our sin one time.
For all time.
For all.
Once for all time.
Yeah.
And if we continue to live our lives as though it was a one-time thing,
for one
we will get that.
Yeah.
We'll get that.
Yeah.
We'll get that thing.
I think what, okay, so that's a, oh man, that's another one. That's also where people take the significance of what the sacrifice really was, and they make it so minute that they don't understand that it was the ultimate sacrifice. There's never been, and there's never going to be another one anything close to that. Like, that is the one and only true sacrifice to save all of humanity from being, because there's not one of us that's worth it. Like, none of us can live the perfect life that we would have to live without Jesus being crucified to get into heaven.
Yeah.
We would all be doomed souls. We're all going to hell.
Done.
You know what I mean?
Done.
Without even having to face judgment. Like, we're just going to walk in. He's going to be like, mass extradition. Like, y'all are all going,
get
like,
out of my face.
Get out of my sight. You know what I mean?
But we live our lives like that's what's fixing to happen.
Yeah,
but so many.
But we're taking the significance out of the crucifixion. Like, we're making it less important than it really is. That is the ultimate thing. There's never been an event, and never will be an event. Think about that. Think of all the events that we've seen that we were like, oh man, this is a huge, massive, major event. You know, there's been super, like, let's just, you know, Hurricane Katrina, Superstorm Sandy, the El Reno tornado, the Joplin tornado,
the 9/11,
World War II, you know, the Jews getting, I mean, just totally,
yeah,
you know, massacred. Like, the stuff happening right now, you got the war with Ukraine. Like, this is all things that we've seen. Some major things that have happened, major events that are going on. World War One. I mean, you got the Revolutionary War, you know,
Civil War.
Yeah, the Civil War. Like, I mean, you got all these crazy things that have happened. None of those hold a candle to the crucifixion. None of them. That is single-handedly the most important event that could ever, will ever, and has ever happened.
I mean,
by magnitudes we can't even measure.
Exactly.
And we act like it's nothing.
We act like it didn't even happen.
History harps on all these other events. History doesn't harp on the right things. You know what I mean? Like, this is insane.
Sad thing about the history is all of the things that you mentioned are the last 200 years.
Yeah. Well, you look.
This happened 2,000 years ago.
Maybe that's why it's so easily forgotten. Maybe that's why, you know, because it's,
I mean, I guess
people have that mentality, not what have you done, but what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, that's a sad, sad existence in life, to be honest with you. Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why it's everybody looks over that.
Maybe it's very possible. And look, interestingly enough, we're a few weeks away from Easter, and we're kind of getting to the point where that's kind of where we celebrate the resurrection. It's not the crucifixion. Everybody thinks we're celebrating the crucifixion.
It's the resurrection.
We're celebrating what happened after the crucifixion, but the resurrection can't happen without a crucifixion, right? And there was something that I don't remember exactly what we were talking about in church 2 weeks ago, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before.
I didn't.
You weren't there that time, but I was there, and I wrote a note. I took a note. That's why I'm looking at my phone, just so everybody knows. I'm not looking at my phone for no reason. I took a note.
I was guilty of that last week. I was trying to find something.
I know, and when you're doing video, we don't want to be caught looking at our phones.
But it's hard. Like, I mean, like, I was trying to do the rope analogy.
Yeah, which was it turned out to be a
group. Yeah, but of course, I'm like, listening. I'm like, uh-huh.
I got you.
And then it's like, oh, okay, here it is.
So I wrote this note the topic of the note says Jesus' blood. And it says, my blood isn't valuable enough to pay the price. Only Jesus' blood was valuable enough to pay the price for me, my weakness, along with everyone else's. my blood isn't powerful enough to cover that. You know what I mean? And if I'm going to rely on my own sacrifice, if I'm going to rely on my own strength to pay the price for what I deserve, I'm going to get exactly what I deserve.
Yeah,
I'm going to
get exactly. Yeah.
But the point is to allow Christ to do what he did, which is to pay the price.
Yeah.
For what we actually deserve.
Yeah. One time for all time.
Once for all time.
Yeah.
Over the next several weeks, we should explore the significance of and impact of and what actually happened at the crucifixion, and then also recognize what happened at the resurrection, right? We do focus a lot on the crucifixion and the pain of that crucifixion, right? Which is actually the payment for the penalty of our sin, right? The physical punishment that we deserve, that we don't have to pay because he already paid it. But we want to focus on how we pay the penalty, acting like...
No, we don't get to pay the penalty.
We can if we choose to, and I don't want to choose to. Sorry, not me, not it. I don't want to do it. But, you know, I don't want to kind of blow that too quickly as far as, like, we have some other videos that we've kind of been hanging on to about that specifically. But the thing that kind of jumped out at me when we were listening to this video here was just we look at people and uphold them to this expectation that's unattainable. Even the people who are the most spiritually connected aren't reaching all of that perfection that they expect out of people. Yeah. And I think that's why Christ was like, you know, don't be like the teachers of religious law who place all these unbearable laws on top of people and don't do anything to ease the burden.
Yeah.
I think that's why Christ said that, because he knows exactly who we are and who we would be and who we were then about, you know, this thing is hard.
Yeah.
And it's he was human, right? He was here. He was dealing with life.
That the one right there with the dude with the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a good one too.
This is a good one. And we will do this here in just a second.
Yeah, man, but that one's,
it talks about a way that you can understand Christ that's not necessarily just a biblical description.
Yeah.
But like a kind of a life-to-life situation.
Yeah.
And how we would use the power if we had that power. Yeah. Is kind of what he does.
Yeah. Not to get famous.
Nope.
Not to get to the front of the line at the club. Not to get riches. Not to get at the front of the food line. Like, that's all the things that us as humans would have done. Like, oh, man. Hey, y'all want to watch me go viral?
Right.
Like, watch this.
And, you know,
I'm about to walk on water. You know what I mean? You're going to need to video out, this, because I'm about to walk across.
Get your popcorn thing ready. Yeah. And, you know, don't get me wrong, we'd like to go viral, but not at the detriment of what the goal is, right?
So there's a huge difference in going viral and being a leader.
Yeah.
Like, dude, people go viral. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but not too long ago, it's like 3-4 years ago, remember there was people that were going viral for the Tide Pod Challenge. These freaking rejects were dying. And I don't mean to say it so, but bro, if you look at when automobiles were sold in the 60s, in the owner's manual, it taught you how to set the valves, adjust the valves.
Yeah.
You know what it says in there now? Do not drink the contents of the battery. Like, that's how dumb we've gotten as a civilization, because we do dumb stuff like the Tide Pod Challenge. There was people doing the Cinnamon Challenge.
Yeah.
That were in. Yeah. I mean, we do, like,
you can choke yourself to death doing that. Yes. Just so you know.
Yeah. But there's a difference, like, being a leader and something, like, if you go viral for that, yeah, that's one thing. But you don't want to go viral just to go viral.
No, absolutely not.
Because you're selling out. I mean, you're doing all the wrong things.
We want to go viral for what we're doing naturally, not for doing crazy things, just so you know. And all those things are crazy. I'll do the ice bucket challenge. I've done that before, but that's a whole different thing.
I'm not doing that either.
Oh, come on. No. Let me dump an ice bucket ice on you. Why not?
I don't know.
Too cold? You don't like the cold?
No. I mean, I take cold showers.
Oh.
It don't have nothing to do with that. I'm just not going to do it. I'll do a challenge that has a meaning.
It actually did have a
meaning. The 22 push-ups for 22 days.
Yeah.
I'll do that one.
The ice bucket challenge actually did have a meaning.
Okay,
it was a fundraising situation. The more people they could get to do it, the more money that these donors would give to it. That's what it was.
Like, I'd shave my beard for cancer. I'd shave my head for cancer.
Yeah, I'd do any of
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I'd do that.
But I'm not just going to do
come on, this luxurious thing.
Joe Blow's like, hey, bro.
Jump off this bridge.
What do you say we shave? No.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I wouldn't do that.
It's getting close to that time anyways.
To shave it off.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't let it get very long in a long time. I mean, there was a time when I looked like.
I know. I saw that glorious beard. It was nice.
It was terrible.
Terrible.
It was terrible. Yeah, I look.
I've been growing this one for about 6 months.
I got a haircut.
How the heck did we get on this? I don't know.
6 weeks. Okay, so this one's 6 weeks old.
It's nice.
6 weeks old. Dude, I don't know. I'm not getting any vitamins. The problem is, like, I have, like, I cringe when I go to my Monday morning meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cringe. Like this Monday, I looked at myself in the mirror and I got my clippers out and I was like trying to catch the scraggly hairs and I was like, oh man, I look terrible.
I got you. You know, I started growing this thing. Just because.
You just wanted to go and see if they would ever make you cut it.
They haven't yet.
Nothing has been said.
I've had a couple of, man, that's looking pretty long. Yep. Waiting on you, bro. Yeah.
You need to cut that. I got you.
All right. Yeah. As soon as they say it, I will do it. Maybe not that far. Just right there. Yeah.
Anyway. Lob it off flat.
I know. I feel like that would look weird to put.
You gotta kind of follow the shape of your. Like, I don't know. I'm not an expert.
You're more of an expert than I am, sir.
Anyways, let's change the subject. We're getting carried away.
I apologize on behalf of Bumper Sticker Wisdom for our incoherence. Yeah,
well, it's just a candid moment. That's all it is. It's a candid moment.
We're going to listen to this dude talk about the power of what Christ did.
He never used his power, his personal being for personal gain. Dude, right. It's amazing.
Whether you believe in Jesus or not, I'll prove to you that the testimony of him is at least the coolest story you've ever heard. Are you ready?
At least the coolest story you've ever heard.
It is said that he was God in human form, born as the Son.
Right.
It is said that demons fled when he commanded them to. You have the most powerful being to ever walk this earth who could heal the sick and even overcome death. He was supposedly all of these things, yet not a single one of the testimonies about him ever say anything.
Overcome death.
Using that power.
Could even overcome death.
Dude, that's you have the most iconic figure in all of human history, and not once did he ever use his name to get into clubs, you know, or put himself at the front of the food lines, or to acquire riches, or to get luxuries that he didn't need, or to rise to fame, or to be the most important person. Like, he literally was the most important person. And all he did was go from place of prayer to place of prayer, performing miracles in between. And he would go to those places on foot most of the time. That's a lot of walking. Sleeping and eating in less than perfect conditions. And not once did he make it about him. He made it all about us. All he did was talk about us and show us how to live longer, happier, and healthier lives.
Think about how, think about the importance of that.
Yeah.
This video, I know this video is not over, but you look at all the, any huge social figure in his, in the history of, take him out, take Jesus out of the equation.
Yeah.
But look at any physical person, look at them throughout history and tell me that there's ever been one that has been famous or been anything, anybody important that hasn't used that for personal gain at some point or another. Every single person has.
Everyone ever. I can think of
every.
Has absolutely done that. Every single one.
Dude, you're looking at, you know, you're looking at the most perfect person to ever have graced the presence of this wonderful planet.
And he did things that were so...
Performed miracles while walking. Walking. You never, he never was like, give me that camel. Give me that donkey. Give me that horse. You know, he never did any of that. Like, I'm about to ride this. No, yeah. He walked. And he did it with a smile on his face. And he would make his disciples walk with him. And as they're walking, he's teaching them lessons. He's teaching them.
Yeah. You know,
he speaks in parables. It's this and this and this.
Giving you stories about how to.
Giving you stories.
Practical about, application.
Yes. About how not to become.
Yeah.
What we.
The teachers of religious law and all that.
Basically, yeah. And, you know, and the sad thing about it is the teachers of religious law are the reason that he was crucified. The crucifixion was already planned. God knew it had to happen.
Right.
There was a purpose behind it. Oof. But it could have come at someone else's hands other than his own people.
Something just popped into my head. I saw something recently, and I don't have it saved or anything like that, but somebody made the distinction and the connection that the cross that Christ was put on was actually already built for Barabbas, which Barabbas was the one who was set free instead of Christ. If we could, we need to go into that story whenever Pilate, Pontius Pilate, is like, hey, look, this man hasn't done anything. It's and in the Jewish tradition, in the Passover celebration, one would be set free. You can either have Jesus, who has really been accused of nothing, or you can have this definite revolutionary murderer who can be crucified. Take your pick. And we chose Jesus. They chose Jesus.
We didn't choose. We are hold on. Hold on.
You no. And look, and Pontius Pilate actually made that comment. I wash my hands of this because I didn't choose this for him. Right? Which is kind of a weak way of getting out of it. Look, at the end of the day, he had the power. Yeah, he could have said no. He could have said no.
We're not crucifying an innocent man.
But the truth of it is, if you recognize the fact that the cross that Jesus bore was actually already built for Barabbas, who was meant to be crucified, who was meant to be put to death, it's a commentary on everything we've already talked about. Barabbas is us.
Yeah.
Christ took the cross for Barabbas.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Christ took the cross that we deserve, that we should have had. We had already been convicted, right? You remember a few weeks ago when we were talking with Ronnie and the Philip Mitchell? Philip Mitchell, is that his name, the pastor? Yes.
Philip A. Mitchell.
That has the cool jacket that we want.
Fishers of Men.
He was talking about how a lawyer that he had influence and had a relationship with the judge who was able to set him free of a crime that he had definitely committed.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm guilty. But I was set free because my lawyer had a relationship with my judge, which is what Jesus is to us. Jesus is our lawyer who has a relationship with our Father.
Sorry, I'm not ignoring you.
You're so good.
For everybody that knows, I'm actually trying to be productive.
He's always productive. But it just it everything we talked about kind of brought to mind the thought that when you start to recognize that the cross that Jesus was actually put on was meant for, and it was already cut for and designed for Barabbas, and yet Jesus hung on it, that's a big deal. The Fishers of Men mechanic jacket.
Yes.
In navy. We want black. But
I want the black one.
But we can't get the black one.
But it's bold apparel.
Bold apparel. Hey, bold apparel, you should latch on.
Yeah. I mean, like, come on, man. We've been trying to get one of them.
We would like a couple of those. One for each of us. 2XL, and I don't know what he wants to wear now. He's changing his mind recently.
Jackets are like a large, but T-shirts, dude, I've been a large for the last couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden it's like I put one on, and it's like, uh-oh, dang, still out of stock.
I start to feel like 2XL is too small for me now. I'm a big boy. Hey, I was proud of myself. I have lost 13 pounds.
Atta boy.
I went from 75 to 63. No, I went from 275 to 263. So I feel pretty good about that.
Damn. I'm like always lingering at the 202 mark.
Goodness.
Now, and I told you when me and my wife first got, when me and my wife first met, I was 170, 175.
Wow. You were that lean?
Yeah. I wore a 31 waist. I wore a 31 waist. Wow. And it was baggy. It would like fall off me.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's that was like what fit me. I still wore a 34 and cinched it up with a belt. I also too for everybody listening to this, that was a very unhealthy time in my life.
Right. Anybody who's been listening from the beginning would know.
Everybody
that.
Knows. I have
a great dad joke.
I do.
Something else. I want to throw this out there while we're kind of closing up shop here. Something else that came about from last night and kind of bled into today that we talked about was being a group that prays together.
Yes.
And we should and haven't been doing ourselves any favors by not being a group that's praying together. So we've committed ourselves to ending our Bible study group with at least a prayer
from one of us. I took on the role last night just to kind of ease the tension because I wanted to make it to where, look, you pray, dad prays, Ronnie prays, Tanner prays, Kevin prays, I pray. You know what I mean? Like
with a little rotation.
Yes. Yeah, a little rotation because, one, it's very important for you as a person to develop that where you can pray for somebody. You're never going to get experienced in praying for somebody if you don't pray with people.
True.
So that kind of breaks the ice there.
Yeah.
It's also important to pray like an outside opinion. Like, okay, like you probably would have prayed for something completely different than I prayed for last night. But it might have brought something else to your attention where you're like, okay, well, hey, yeah.
That was a
different points of view.
Yeah, and it was why I said that I'm proud of you, not just for that specific thing, but I'm proud of you because I'm proud of the fact that you're becoming so much more bold in your like in your actions and in the way you kind of present things to the group. And like, dude, if we examine 24 months difference, you know what I mean? Like you go 24 months back and 24 months forward and kind of rewind your, and look at your life through that lens and kind of look at the interactions in between, you would see all this growth that has taken place. You know what I mean? I'm wandering away from my mic. I'm sorry. But you would see all this growth that's taking place, which is, it's interesting because we don't ever recognize that in ourselves. We recognize it in others. So it's easy for me to see in you, and it's easy for you to see in me or in the people around us, but not necessarily easy for you to see in yourself. And so that's why I wanted to tell you that I know you didn't want to hear it, but I wanted you to know.
Well, it caught me off guard. I was like, what do you mean?
That's why. Because I can see the difference in the boldness and the difference in your confidence and the difference in your knowledge and the difference in, you know what I mean? I can see the growth. And I wanted you to know that somebody sees it, rather it, whether it's me or God. I can only imagine how God sees you. It's way more than what I can see. So I wanted you to hear that. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's getting way too serious. Way too serious.
This is what we do.
I have a good one. It's from your wife, by the way.
Okay. Miss Terry.
What do you call a pig that does karate?
I don't know.
Pork chop.
Yeah!
I got another one too.
Okay, go.
My Mexican friend most recently started taking anti-anxiety medicines.
All right.
It's helping with Hispanic attacks.
It's so bad, it just might be good.
Hispanic attacks.
Hispanic attacks.
Lay something deep. Man, that sounded way wrong. Like, give me a good one. God, I don't even know how to follow
you
that up.
You can't follow that.
Yeah, that's terrible. It's terrible, Jason.
Do not seek to follow in the footsteps of the wise. Seek what they sought.
Ooh.
Matsuo Bush. I don't know.
Matsubush.
Matsubush. Yeah. I don't know. My handwriting is terrible. I can't even read it. I think it's Bush. B-O-S-H-E. Do not seek to follow in the footsteps of the wise. Seek what they sought. Don't ask me.
No, it's a good one. It is a good one.
Can you believe we've been doing this for 66 episodes?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah. You want to know why? Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
You know what's cool? I'll put this out there. What's cool to me, and I've put away my, I don't look at the analytics at all. I go to post our stuff on RSS, who distributes for us, and I put our stuff on Facebook and TikTok and all that. I don't worry about it anymore. The cool thing to me is the consistency of it, and whether or not we are reaching a billion people or one is enough. And we need to stay with that mentality and let it do what it does, because if we stopped right now, we would be letting down at least one person.
So I want to bring something up. When we talk about one,
yeah,
whether it's 100 or whether it's one, whether it's a million or whether it's one, when you look at how Jesus was, he would leave the 99 for the one.
Yeah.
It's very important. The one lost soul. Look, there's, okay, so if we have 100 listening to us,
yeah,
and it's only reaching one, the other 100 are still going to be there. The one that it's reaching, if we quit, that's the one that we're going to lose.
And I refuse. I refuse to let that happen.
It's
you start to recognize like the weight of it. Like that's a burden, not a burden, but that's a big weight. And I refuse to allow us
to lose that. One thing that I want to, I'm not going to dismiss anything that we're doing, but look, we're nobody.
True.
What we're doing is not, it doesn't deserve one of those. It's nothing. What we're doing is we're trying to follow a model that was designed by Jesus to be fishers of men. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
This was not our idea. This was not our plan. We didn't architect this specific design to be fishers of men. Jesus is the one that said, hey, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. Not to us personally, but in scripture.
Yes, sir.
We're just out here trying to do the best we can. Like we're idiots. We're a whole bunch of things. One thing is for sure. We're followers. We're passionate, and we care.
We love you.
I mean, that's it. Take it for what it's worth. Thank each and everybody that is listening. Anybody that's followed us through this journey. You're the reason that we're doing this. I mean, we're not doing this for any other reason. And thank you for being a part of it and for letting me be a part of it. We kind of came together in a very strange way when we first started talking about doing this.
Yeah.
For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm Jason.
I'm John.